All right, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, and our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues. Our topic for the week is youth who are vulnerable and people who can help. And joining us here in the studio, we've got Rochelle Trottenberg and Monique Molina from Humboldt County Transitional Age Youth Collaborative. Did I get that right?
Got that right.
Okay, good. That is, and it's a big, long acronym, too.
It is a long acronym. We say it HCTACY, and we are an organization that works with young people who have experience in foster care, mental health, juvenile justice, or homelessness to improve the services and the system that is there to hopefully help them have better, you know, outcomes in their lives.
How long has the organization been around?
We have been around since about 2008, and
so pretty recent.
Yeah, not too long. We developed out of the Mental Health Services Act, Prop 63, and that's been a way to improve community-based mental health services for young people. Well, for all people, but in our case, for young people 16 to 26.
So, been around for a short amount of time. What kind of success have you seen?
Good question. I think one of the biggest successes we have seen is the amount of young people who have developed leadership skills to be able to really come back and give a voice to what needs to change in the system and how programs and services could better be designed and delivered. And from that, we had the creation of the TAE Division, which is a service of the Department of Health and Human Services, and they specifically serve young people that have mental health needs, and they also do a lot of independent living skills and leadership development, and it's a great place for transition age youth to get help. And it was designed by transition age youth. So,
what kind of problems were there before your organization?
So I would say that when it comes to mental health, prior to our organization, if you were somebody seeking mental health services and in the transition age youth category, and also somebody who had financial challenges and couldn't get a private provider, you would be reliant on county services, and that was either children's or adults. But when you're somewhere in the middle, neither place really fits. What do they say? The square peg in the round hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these youth put together policy recommendations and approached DHHS and asked for mental health services specifically for transition age youth. And then the county since 2008, when those recommendations came about, responded by this amazing division.
And what's transitional age?
Good question. So transitional age is generally between 16 and 26. So think of yourself as that high school student. You're just getting your driver's license or you're about to, all the way up into the like mid-20s when you're, you know, finally finding your feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the transition age population.
Okay. And Monique, we were talking off air and
right.
you were in foster care, you were homeless also.
Right.
And so you're sort of our resident expert on the system.
Yes, I am a pro, like I said. And not only was I like homeless, it wasn't just me, it was with my 2-year-old son. And I think that, having those certain services would have, you know, prevented those things from happening. Having like HCTACY they still like, you know, even if you have a kid, they still will take you in and help you with like mental health and things like that. So, when you're a homeless single parent, your stakes are that much higher. And so those services are really important and,
yeah,
and all those things. So, are there, do you want me to share a little bit about my story, or are you
if you're comfortable with that?
Yeah, so I came from Sacramento, and I was a homeless single mom. I finished my associate's degree and found out that shortly after really pushing to get my associate's that, you know, that degree wasn't worth shit. It didn't get you a job. It didn't get enough income for me to raise a child on. And so I came to Humboldt to pursue my higher education, to get my bachelor's degree, to get a higher paying job. And what I found here was that I still found myself homeless. And even though I had a job and I was working for the city attorney, and the issues that I've realized and I've faced is that it's particularly hard for young single parents to find housing, to find just living situations where you're accepted with a child. And at that young age, it's very difficult because, you know, you can't, no one wants to live with a child and a woman. And so we had to go into the shelter, and that just really opened my eyes to my whole experience of being in foster care and growing up, and seeing how my mom was a single mom of four, and just seeing those issues where there's not a lot of supportive services for single parents. And I think that that ties in a lot to the foster care system, because it's very parallel where, you know, like these women with children become statistics, and then that results in a youth becoming a statistic as well. And so, you know, I think that society doesn't really address the fact that single moms are their own entity, they're their own family. And it's the same as, you know, kids in foster care, they're statistics and they're outcasts. And I think that because, you know, youth in foster care and single parents don't quite fit into the American dream, we don't think about them any further, that they need or just even deserve services, because we mistakenly think that it's their fault. And so I think that, you know, when we're talking about issues with youth in foster care, we also need to at the same time be addressing the issues with women with children and their place in society and these services that they don't have. Because if you don't address those issues, those kids are just going to keep coming through the system. So you have to really just stop it right there. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot I can say about it and the flaws in society. But I think the most important thing is housing, finding housing, because, you know, and just a support system and employment and yeah, I just had a brain fart. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You were
mentioning that you had a job and you were still homeless.
And so that kind of opened my eyes, because I'm like, you know what, like this is all happening to me, that I'm losing my home and I can't afford to feed my child because I don't have employment. But still, with moving here and getting daycare services and getting a job for the city attorney and asking people, you know, I just need a month to get on my feet so I can save up for an expensive deposit and then pay rent. And everyone's like, at least 30 people, you know, were just like, oh, sorry. I would do this thing where I would half the people, I would leave out the fact that I had a kid, so I wouldn't mention it before. Mm-hmm. And when they would accept me, and I'd say, oh, by the way, like, I have a 2-year-old, and he's not here right now, but he would be moving in, and I'd just watch how they'd be like, you know, never mind. You know, it's a reality. It's true. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Is that even legal? I mean,
It is. I mean, it's criminal, but it's legal.
And even if it's legal, if you're a young person or a young parent and you're trying to go to school and work and care for a child or even care for yourself, it's hard to fight that system or that battle. And landlords are really powerful. And and so I think it's a challenge to really navigate such a big system, especially when you're already marginally surviving.
Right.
And Monique made a good point about housing and jobs. And one of the things I thought was interesting is the Centers for Disease Control had put out some of the social determinants of mental health and well-being, and housing, equitable jobs and wages, quality education, and access to quality health care are determinants that can largely influence one's mental wellness. And so if we're sort of attending to those issues and looking at how we as a community can come together to make sure everybody has access to housing, everybody has access to a good job with good living wages, we have good quality schools and people can get to them and get the support they need in school, and then have access to healthcare, then we don't have to have as many conversations about mental illness, because we're meeting all of those things that lay the foundation for good wellness.
And Monique, one thing that you brought up really kind of opened my eyes to the problem. It's a real catch-22 that's set up when you're a single mother. Because yeah. It's like, okay, so first of all, you need a place to live. In right. order to get a place to live, you need to work. In right. order to work, you need to have some way of someone taking care of your right. child. You need health. You need child care. Mm-hmm. And there's so many obstacles right. in the way of making that whole thing happen. It's obvious yeah, all those problems.
We definitely fail to realize that, you know, it all starts out, like, everyone has good intentions. And oftentimes it's the women that don't have families or broken families themselves that want to start building this family. And so, you know, you're staying at home with your child. Well, anyone can just get up and leave and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And you're on your own and you're staying home without a job. So it's like, where do you start when you don't have childcare and you don't have a job and you don't have family, let alone the support system that you may have had before you had a baby leaves you because you had a baby. They're like, well, you fucked up. Like, you know, you got knocked up. It's your fault, you know? And so it's really rough. It's like, where do you start? And, there's really no place to start. Like, where do you go? And so oftentimes women find themselves, you know, denying the fact that they are single parents, and they're trying to, like, quickly wipe up that mess and find another man and get a ring on it and cover it up. But, you know, they pick the wrong man. They might have daddy issues. They, you know, and so they pick a man that is unhealthy and the live-in boyfriends, and that's who, you know, their kid gets molested. They right. they need somebody to watch that kid so they can go out and be the breadwinner, and that backfires on them. That man comes in with the drugs, you know, and so that's how it spirals down, and these families can't take care of their children. These right. women can't take care of their children. And most oftentimes, I think, even speaking from my own experience, I didn't think I could do it on my own. You know, and there was a part of me that was like, I need to go get a boyfriend because I didn't think I could do it on my own until I moved here and I found the Arcata house, and it was a transitional house. And I'm like, holy shit, I can do it on my own. And I don't need to go and you know, throw myself at somebody just because I'm trying to secure a place for my son. And I did it on my own. And so I you know, they helped me save up. I stayed in there for like 3 months, 4 months, and I saved up. I got enrolled in school. I got a job, and then they introduced me to low-income apartments, and I just slowly slid my way back into society with Phoenix. And so, yeah, it's things like that. Women, you know, I think they have good intentions with their children, but I just think that as a whole, we're not addressing the issues that they're facing, and right. we blame it on them. And when, too, they're like in shelters and they're, you know, they've got to be at home cleaning and cooking, and they're so worn out that they snap in public, and everyone in society is like calling CPS. It's like, fuck off, you know, like you're kind of like, it's kind of like they're, you know, no one's helping you. Like, it's not our kid, not our problem. And then suddenly it's our child, it's our problem when it comes to CPS. And so there's double standards, and there's a lot of, there's people just aren't stepping up to the plate to help these people, you know, so.
And it's amazing, you know, what you're talking about, kind of a very small amount of help needed to, you know, to get you off that spiral.
Right.
You know, you just needed a place for just a few months where you could catch
that's
up
it, yeah.
And you know, it's, you know, it, you know, and you're right, you know, so often, you know, society as a whole will blame
like
these
you.
People, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, why don't you pull yourself up by your bootstraps
right.
and, you know, get a job already and take care of yourself. And it's like, okay, how?
Right.
You know, there's the million-dollar question. How? And what you were talking about, you know, it's like the temptation of, like, you know, trying to hook up with a boyfriend or someone, you know, that just opens the door to abuse. I mean,
yeah.
there is such a problem there that can really occur, and I'm sure it happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that's really important to know is, like, you know, Monique is talking about her experience and that, you know, she was homeless and having a baby really young and then trying to go to college and get a job and do all of these things. And statistically, it's really amazing that she is where she's at, because when young people grow up in the system in foster care, they're like 50% don't graduate high school. 1 to 3% of foster youth graduate from college. Many of these young people leave at 18 without having, you know, any sort of stable supports in their lives. And so for something as simple as 3 months of having support and transitional housing through the Arcata House could help someone turn their complete life around and be able to enroll at HSU and be an outstanding student and also an outstanding mom. And then what Monique didn't share is that she's also a really great advocate in the community for foster youth and does a lot of stuff. And so I think that it's important that people who are listening today understand that really there's been a lot of talk, you know, by all the talking heads in our county around housing, and we know it's an issue. And when we as a community realize that our entire community benefits from supportive housing environments, all of us benefit from that. Monique is benefiting from that. We benefit from that. And so really finding ways to come together as a community to address some of that
sure.
can change statistics for our entire community.
I mean, you listen to, you know, some politicians talk, you know, about this is just enabling lazy people to just sit around, collect welfare checks, and suck off the system. You know, and it's like, wow, okay, let's put you in this situation and see how you deal, because the cards are so stacked against people in your situation. I mean, it's amazing that you were able to transition from where you were with just the amount of help that you had.
Yeah, and I want to say that the staple has not only been the Arcata House, but my car. Like, that was what has gotten me to, you know, to the shelter, to daycare, to look for jobs. Like, when you take a bus, you have to pick, do you want to go to the grocery store today, or do you want to, you know, go to the post office? Or, you know, you can't do everything at once because it takes 20 hours on a bus. And so I couldn't imagine, you know, I couldn't imagine how women would do it without even a vehicle. Like, it's just, you're in a lose-lose situation. Like, how are you supposed to go out and get those, how are you supposed to get the money to even pay for the car that, with the job that you don't have, you know? And
right.
so,
as I said, it's a catch-22.
You're stuck. Yeah. And so the only way to get out is to, you know, like, sell drugs, prostitute, go find a man, you know, and that's just not the way, that's not the way it should be done. I don't think, because it's not healthy, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't really pay off.
It doesn't pay off.
Having
yeah.
like a good life and wellness in the end.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of foster youth don't even think that they can go to school or they can do it because, you know, single moms think the same thing. They don't know that they could raise a child on their own because no, society's not teaching them that.
What would you say to someone who is listening to this, who is maybe in your situation, but a few years back, where they are in this situation where maybe they're a single mom and they can't get a place to live and can't get a job because they have a kid? Is there a number that they can call?
I would check with – I Googled everything when I came here. Like, thank you, Google. So there's not really – I would just check with the county to find resources for free childcare. Like Changing Tides is here. You know, they offer those things. There's not necessarily a number, but if you really do your research, you can find those things. And I know some counties that don't. And so it's just like you just got to take the risk and move out of that county. You've just got to live somewhere else because you have to survive. And that's why I left where I did.
Another way that people could reach out and get help, if they're somewhere in the age range of 16 to 26, they can come into the Tay Division and we can support them to get access to services they need. And we have mental health and case management support services for people And the case managers in Tay are amazing. I have to give them a shout out because they really are the bread and butter of the work that we do there. They're the folks that are, you know, out helping people really get their life, like reach their life goals. They support them. They help them navigate the system. They do a lot to really make sure that young people have their needs met. So if there's a young person listening that ever had experience with homelessness, foster care, juvenile justice, mental health, parenting, single parent, I encourage them to come to our Tay Division drop-in hours. They're Wednesdays from 2 to 5.
And where is that?
And that's at 550 I Street in Eureka. We're close to the courthouse. We're near public transportation, the main county bus route. You can come in any time, but we have specifically all of our support staff there on Wednesdays from 2 to 5. And when I say support staff, we have public health nurses. We have folks from the job and training field. Laura Chancellor is our job guru. She's amazing. She helps just do so much. All of our staff, our clinicians, even the supervisors who are just awesome. Everybody there is there to help. And so they can call 476-4922. That's one of the numbers, or they can call 476-4940. And they'll get me or Quayle or Leah on the phone, and we would be happy to help people get connected to services.
Fantastic. Well, you said it's the Tate Division?
It's the Tate Division, the Transition Age Youth Division of Department of Health and Human Services.
Got it.
And if people don't feel comfortable coming into the office, we also go out into the community. So if you're listening from Garberville or from Wichpec or from, you know, any part of this county, we will make, you know, an effort to be in those outlying areas and to make sure people can still get the support they need.
It's terrific, because it's amazing that you guys have only been around for such a short amount of time. It certainly sounds like it's been needed for a while.
It has, and I think the Department of Health and Human Services really went out on a limb to ask young people for their opinion and to say we're going to try and respond. And they really have done a great job. It hasn't always been easy, and sometimes we ask for things that we might not get. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop asking and. We still continue to give feedback on how things could be better and improved. And so to go out on a limb and to create this whole new division and hire staff and, you know, really listen to what youth want. I mean, youth were involved from the design of the program and the model that we use and even hiring some of the staff. There's been youth voice leading that process. And I think it's showed that that's a really great model. It's a beneficial model to the county because young people are getting what they need in an environment that is important to them.
Fantastic. Well, I really want to thank you both for coming in and talking. You know, Rochelle, thanks again, and we're going to be seeing you again on Friday.
Yeah,
thank you. Monique, thank you for coming in and sharing all that stuff. It's a lot of personal stuff to be sharing with everyone.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And Rochelle, too. So.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And tomorrow we'll continue our dialogue dealing with youth who are vulnerable and people who can help. And we're going to be talking with folks from Planned Parenthood. Also, we've got some folks coming in from Spare Change as well. And they do wonderful things in our community.